So you as a person develop resiliency, develop grit, and you put yourself in a situation, and if you rise to the occasion, that also helps you build the resiliency and grit and self-confidence. And those qualities, resiliency, grit, self-confidence, discipline, are qualities of good leaders and great leaders. And so you don't get to that point, which is why I don't think they're born, I think they're made, without having gone through some challenge, some adversity. And you continue to do this over and over again, like the sword forged in the fire.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Entrepreneur Tell-All podcast, where aspiring entrepreneurs come to hear the motivational and inspirational stories of those who've come before them. I'm your host, James Makuto. Today, we have a great guest in the house with us, Lori Whetstone, who is an author, a certified health coach, yoga instructor. She's also a retired Wall Street executive, a single mother, a success strategist, a U.S. Army veteran, and an entrepreneur. More specifically, she is the founder and president of the Whetstone Group Holdings, which is a management consulting firm offering strategic guidance to businesses. She's also the founder and CEO of Holistic Wellness Design, which is a success strategy outfit offering solutions to help business leaders and individuals thrive. And finally, she's also the founder of The Musings of LW, which is her personal lifestyle blog and community for adventurous souls who want to live full lives to the fullest. Welcome to the show, Lori.
Thanks, James. Great to be here.
Thank you. So, Lori, you clearly have a lot on your plate. And I was just curious if you could just maybe get us started by explaining how all these pieces fell into place for you, please.
So, I left my corporate career on Wall Street over two decades. And it was during the lockdowns in the fall of 2020. I have two teens, as you said, I'm a single mom. Mm-hmm. And they were really not doing well. And so I had a five-year exit plan that includes the three businesses that you just mentioned. And I literally just moved my five-year exit plan up and, consulted with my personal board of advisors to make sure that I wasn't, half crazy to do something like that. And lo and behold, here we are. I'm happy to say that me taking, leaving corporate America when I did was probably the best thing I ever could have done for both myself and my children. Within 6 months, we all did a 180. I mean, we are closer than we've ever been, healthier, happier. What I didn't mention, I used to travel 200 days a year for a couple of decades. Oh, so wow. The fact that mom was able to be there, and even though they were teens, I thought they would be, sort of like, no thanks, but it was actually the opposite. And so to this day, I wouldn't trade any of it. Now it's just the management and the lift off of the businesses, that's keeping me busy, and the kids are great.
With all of these different things going on, the three businesses that you're running, your family commitments. What does your typical day look like?
I have a morning routine, morning rituals. If you don't have one, I've outlined some strategies and techniques in my latest ebook, Five Easy Ways to Energize Your Mornings. So I start off, I personally meditate. Mm-hmm. Even if it's for 3 minutes, sometimes you don't have a lot of time. But 3 to 10 minutes a day, I use solfeggio frequency music, which, if you haven't heard of it, it's some great stuff. You can look it up online. There's lots of free, things to access, audio files and, check out the science behind it. It's really interesting. So while I'm getting ready, I just literally play that in the background. When the school year is in, then I'm doing the sort of mom duties, if you will, of the mm-hmm. chauffeuring, the morning and afternoon chauffeuring. During the summer, we obviously don't have that, but I'll start out the day with, social media and, again, going through the dearth of the inbox that, we all have to deal with these days.
Sure.
And then it's meetings or, coaching clients or business consulting clients. And because most of that is done virtually, I do have the odd in-person meeting for people that are local here, which I still really enjoy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's a lot of time spent on Zoom and in the virtual world.
So you mentioned meditation as being part of your daily routine. Is this one of the primary tools that you use to, you know, let's say avoid burnout?
You know, when you're really, you know, a leader and you're really busy, and like you said, family commitments, the work commitments, you can really just work 24/7 and not recover. And I probably did that in my corporate career. Mm-hmm. So I learned by experience. And the funny story around meditation is I was actually training. I was about to train for another Spartan race. This is another thing I've done in the past. And I found a new trainer. And as we're working on training, you know, physically for this really enduring mud obstacle race, he looked at me and he said, "Have you ever tried meditation?" Hmm. And I was one of the holdouts, right? So of my friend group, I was one of the few people that hadn't yet started meditating, because my answer was, "Oh my gosh, I can't meditate. My mind's always going, you know, a million miles an hour. It just does never shut up." And that's exactly why one needs meditation.
Sure, yeah.
But I resisted until he brought that up. And he literally would just plant a seed, as a good sort of coach and trainer does, plants a seed, doesn't force the issue. And then I read Tim Ferriss's book, Tools of Titans, mm-hmm. and discovered, you know, 80% of the world's most successful athletes in any field meditate. And then I said, okay, stop fighting this, right? Because we just fight ourselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, use something simple. And so a tool for clients of mine who have never tried meditation, because it just is like, I don't have the time, it seems so scary, I try to make these really easy, simple hacks. And I say, look, when you're lying in your bed in the morning, first thing, you open your eyes, whether you have a partner or not, kids or not. If you have other people in the house, take your earbuds, put them in, sign up for one of the online apps, you know, Headspace or mm-hmm. Calm or one of these things. And if you do 3 minutes before you have to get up for your day, it'll be done. And then I tell them, you're not going to notice anything if you just do it a few days and then you skip a few weeks and you do it a few more days. It's the cumulative effect of meditating. Mm-hmm. That's when you're going to notice something. So I tried this on myself, because I always use myself as a guinea pig first before I recommend anything to anyone. And I noticed it after 3 weeks. I didn't do it every single day. You know, some days I missed and some days I did longer. Some days I did the 3 minutes. And these are just guided meditations. It's pretty simple. You just sit, you know, sit there and, you know, follow the prompts. I actually felt different. And it was to the point where the teens here notice if mom hasn't meditated, right? And it might be a few days, they'll say, mm-hmm. Mom, you know, if I'm getting a little squirrely, or, you know, you're just a little bit too anxious or what have you, because it's really grounding. You know, I'm not a scientist. I don't know how all of this works, but I'm telling you, it's one of the most powerful ways I've found to ground myself, to be really present. Right. And then when you're present, you're aware of yourself, you're aware of what you're doing, and you're able to make better decisions.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. My old man was very religious about his meditation. Every day after he came back from work, he'd sit in a chair, put his headphones on. And this is back in the day when we had cassette tape players. And
oh, yeah.
He would sit there for 30, 40 minutes, just quiet time and meditate. And, you know, I think there's something that can be said about the importance of just quietening the mind. You know, the rest of our days are filled with just chaos, right? So to the extent mm-hmm. that we can just find those quiet moments, I think it helps rejuvenate the mind. So my next question is one that I think is organically becoming what might be a flagship question, because I think in my mind, it definitely sets the contextual table and the foundation for our conversation. But I'd love to get your thoughts on what it means to be an entrepreneur to you.
To me, it means, you know, building things that you're impassioned, you know, for, whether it's a business, a product, a team, but then not being so wedded to that thing that you don't want to give it up and go do another one.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I differentiate that from perhaps an artist who is wedded to the thing that they produce. Right. And then they want to keep those things, you know, forever. Entrepreneurs, they want to build things and, you know, they want to, you know, maximize revenues and maximize potential and maximize uptake or whatever it is. And then they want to, you know, offload it, sell it, you know, do something else with it and then move to the next exciting venture. And so I think that by nature, you know, you hear the cliches that we're risk takers.
Yeah.
But just think about other people that don't like to do that. They think, why in the world would you want to take on all that unknown, all of that risk? So I think that, you know, it's just sort of a wiring, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes complete sense. And I think sometimes if people don't see your personal vision and what the end result is, mm-hmm. you know, you'll find sometimes that they maybe even inadvertently become detractors, right? They start saying, to your point, why are you trying to do this? What's, you know, there's so much risk involved in this and you're going to fail, you know? So, you know, I think what you just mentioned definitely resonates. So at the tender age of 55, you pivoted mm-hmm. and you decided to stick your big toe in the entrepreneurship waters. Mm-hmm. At the time, how did you know that you were making the right decision?
Well, two things. Number one, I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. I carved out a niche in the corporate world by, you know, starting new teams or new offices that had not existed before. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't a big stretch. I think to answer your question more specifically, how did I know I was making the right decision? It was really about remember why I left my corporate career in the first place, you know, to have more time with my children. It's a thing, you hear it. It's very common. A lot of people do that. Mine just happened to be amplified by, you know, the period in time that we're going through around the world. And so I knew I was making the right decision because of, you know, just the beauty and the health and well-being of my kiddos and our relationship, you know, how close it was. I will not, you know, lie and tell you that it's been easy or that I'm where I want to be yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, this business is not even a year old yet. And so, you know, I've got grand visions and ambitions and I'm just, if you've ever seen that meme that has the iceberg, right? So everybody yes. sees just the very top of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. And then there's all this stuff going on underneath.
Beneath the surface. Yeah.
That's right. That's where I'm at. So, but I, like I said, I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade a moment of it. You know, my oldest is going off to college here shortly. And so I wouldn't trade these last few years for anything.
And just thinking about what you just mentioned, that what people see isn't necessarily what's going on beneath the surface. You know, what are some of the lessons that you've learned along the way?
Oh, gosh. James, I'm going to write one of the books I'm going to write is about all the things not to do as an entrepreneur or as a startup entrepreneur specifically. You know, when you're on somebody else's dime, things are a lot easier to get done. But when you're on your own dime, it's a little more challenging. So, you know, I mean, gosh, I can, you know, going it alone or thinking you can do everything, you know, that's one place that I would have, you know, changed at the outset. Mm-hmm. Another is not or underestimating the competitiveness of a new market or a new, let's just say, world that I entered. Remember, I was in the world of face-to-face business where I literally flew across the country to have a 15-minute coffee. It was all face-to-face. I was never on a computer. We did no virtual meetings. It mm-hmm. was just all in person. And then you move me into a completely digital world. And I thought, oh gosh, well, you know, how hard could it be? Well, yeah. So I probably, you know, in hindsight, would have brought on, you know, not necessarily a partner, but at least some advisors earlier on.
All right. So holistic wellness design. I think that's mm-hmm. an amazing name for a business. You know, it's a catchy title, but I think it also speaks directly to what it is that you do. How did you come up with that name for your business?
I thought of the name for the business before I even came up with the concept, because I knew I wanted to launch a business that used, you know, things that I'd always done in my life as kind of the hobby, right? You know, I've always been like the friend that people would call and say, hey, gosh, you know, let's talk through this thing. Or the people they would call and say, hey, what is that weird cleanse you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Or people would call and say, oh, gosh, what new workout thing are you working on, or yoga tip, or what have you. And then, you know, just really breaking down the entire name, I wanted to help people design strategies for their lives. Okay. So that's where design came in. Holistic, I thought I really needed there, because what I have found, if you talk about, you know, life coaching and, you know, business coaching and the things that I'm sort of lumped into, or we're sort of lumped into as a business, that's not what we do. We actually treat, you know, the entire person and their life. Unlike Western medicine, right, where you go in, you have a problem with your toe and they just treat your toe, when mm-hmm. it could be your knee, could be your hip alignment, could be what you're eating, it could be the shoes you're wearing, you know, it could be a million things. That's what holistic wellness design does. That's why I used holistic. And then I needed a term to denote, you know, health that wasn't health care, because when you use health care, people think of your doctor and, right. you know, medicine. So that's how the whole name fit together. And that's where we've, you know, sort of evolved into the intersection of executive or leadership wellness, right? And we treat, you know, you and your whole life, which includes your business and our careers.
You help businesses come up with strategies for success, but you also help individuals, like you mentioned, make meaningful mm-hmm. changes to their lives. Could you maybe mm-hmm. speak a little bit to the approach that you take based on the type of client that you have, right? So if we think about, you know, a large scale enterprise versus, you know, a single person, a 25-year-old male, like if they came to you and said, you know, I'm looking to make a meaningful change to my life, or I'm looking to grow my business, what are some of the similarities or maybe differences in your approach to servicing those two groups of clients?
Well, let me come up with the similarities first. So the similarities are, because of my, you know, deep bench of business experience, I can do a lot. I can really, you know, assess and help design a solution to whatever problem that a business leader is facing. Mm-hmm. But the reason why, you know, it's an overlay of both the business consulting coaching side with the leadership side, because oftentimes when we're dealing with that business problem, we'll find that the leader is experiencing some sort of, you know, imbalance or issue with themselves. And when, you know, you're able to resolve on both sides, both the individual leader and then their problem, because they often fit together, right? Sure. There's often sure. something that's the cause for the other thing, or vice versa. And then, you know, at the same token, for you know, the young leader, it's going to be the same process, right? But just in a different manner, because of life experience and where people are at different junctures in their life. And then, you know, couple that with, that's all of the sort of, you know, hands-on and conversation. But the program I developed, because I found this missing in my own personal experience with both business coaches and life coaches, is that I would go in and have sort of conversations, and then I didn't have any sort of system or process or program or workbook or anything around it to keep me accountable and to get me to the goals that we had agreed I wanted to achieve. So I created that. So I have a system that underlies that, and we have you know, my 5-point philosophy. And we just walk through these steps, and, you know, some of them will speed right through, and others, you know, we'll spend more time on, because everybody's at a different place with what they need.
you mentioned a 5-point philosophy. Mm-hmm. When you're going through this process, either with business leaders, or, you know, other individuals, or just businesses really in general, what are some of the common or recurring thematic challenges that you've helped some of your clients address?
So there's a couple of things there. One thing that comes up over and over is when people are seeking out someone to help them, you know, make a change in their life, it's oftentimes because that individual is too close to the problem, right? The problem is literally right here, mm-hmm. and you can't see it. So if we're not aware of a problem, there's no way that we can make a new choice or a new decision, right? And so it's just, it's peeling back and getting to the root of what is the actual issue. And this is a segue to my second answer to the question is, the other thing I see is that, you know, once we gain the awareness and we can make a new choice or a new decision, the individual will think it's, you know, so if they're like, well, I get stressed out and then I overeat. So they think I just need to go on a diet or I need a new nutrition plan. So can you help me with that, Lori? Mm-hmm. And what we'll find is that it'll be some other, one of these other points, and it could be their mindset, right? It's the thinking around and their relationship with food. It's not the actual, right? Do you see what I mean? So it's not just a diet. You can't just slap the Band-Aid on the problem.
Sure.
And so those are the two things I see most often. It's the awareness of the issue. And then, you know, sort of misdiagnosing yourself, which is why, you know, they come to us for help because they can't solve the problem on their own.
As a business coach, we could argue that you are a mentor to business leaders, et cetera. And you also mentioned earlier that you wish that you had, you know, brought on maybe some additional advisors, you know, when you started your businesses. Today, who do you turn to for guidance and for mentorship personally?
So I have, you know, I've outsourced a few functions as one does when one is building one's business. And I also have some trusted unofficial board of advisors before I'm able to create. I already have in mind who my first board advisor invitations are going to go out to. So be ready, people. They're coming. We're just too early stage
sure.
right now. Yeah.
Shifting gears a little bit, the Musings of LW. So that's your lifestyle blog. And
right.
I think, you know, just in my own experience, just having gone through your blog and read some of your articles, I think it offers a great window into your adventurous spirit. Where did that thirst for adventure come from?
Oh, gosh, James, I think I've always been like this. My mom told me when I was 2 years old, I was, you know, stood up in front of the entire family and you know, wanted to sing the Elvis song at Christmas or something like that. So it's just, I've just been wired that way. My interest in travel specifically, my travel adventures probably emanated from, you know, being a kid growing up very poor, if you've, you know, read some of my stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've never gone out of the country. I joined the United States Army at age 18. I choose to live in Germany and talk about, you know, the kid in the candy store. You know, I'm 18 years old, traveling all around, you know, Western Europe. It was incredible. And I think I probably caught the bug then.
The essence of your blog is it's a lifestyle blog, right? Chronicling, you know, all your various adventures. But at the end of the day, it's also a business. Who would you describe as being your primary target audience for the blog?
For the blog, these are people that are looking for inspiration, whether it's, you know, by putting yourself into someone else's shoes and you know, following the mishaps and adventures and sort of, you know, life experiences of another person so that you can maybe be inspired from it, or you can learn something, you know, or if you need to take a break from your, you know, the grind and you're just sitting at your desk behind Zoom all day, we've got inspirational quote videos and, you know, you can check out my, you know, gallery of snapshots, you know, so just, it's just meant to be easy, you know, accessible to anybody, you know, that wants the time. And it was kind of precipitated on friends of mine, you know, throughout my Wall Street career. You know, one of the things we had to do is we were always with people and telling stories, because we had a lot of dinners and there was a lot of downtime with building relationships with people, which rely on storytelling. And my friends would say, "Oh my gosh, you have the craziest stories, or you have the most interesting stories. You've got to write about it." Mm-hmm. And I always thought, "Oh yeah, what a great idea." And I never did it. I never did it until I left. And then I said, "Okay, now's the time. You've heard of a blog." James, I really didn't even know what they were. Like, I really didn't know anything. So I've learned a lot in the last few years.
I bet. Any chance you could share how you're currently monetizing your blog, if you are?
So yeah, we have a couple of ways. We're obviously still building viewership. So if you want to come and join our Live Life Full Out Tribe, we'd love you to join our community and you'll get our newsletter and all the discounts and cool things that we send out. And don't worry, there won't be junk. We don't send, you know, multiple emails out a day like some of the other newsletters. We've also got, we have a library of books that I have read personally, and I have put a little review there. So if you want to buy that, you know, we get a little, you know, affiliate purchases there through the book library. And we've got an e-commerce store with inspirational merch that has Haley, who was our artist. She designed four different logos of slogans that I made up, you know, live life full out and be your best self, and you have the courage to begin again, and strong and courageous. And we have those imprinted and custom printed on, I think we have 70 items now.
Oh, wow.
So you can find everything from... And these are just great gift ideas because they're unique. They're one of a kind. Whether you need the, you know, coffee mug for your mom or grandma or your coworkers, or you need, you know, the golf balls for all of your business exec buddies. We have golf towels. We have beach towels. You know, there's clothing, you know, notebooks, you know, journals and things like that. So there's all kinds of fun gifts that we'll just call merch that go with the brand.
I'd like to shift gears a little bit and maybe move on to talking about leadership a little bit. And I have a quote from Vince Lombardi, you know, obviously the famous football coach. And he's quoted as saying that leaders aren't born, they are made. And they're made just like anything else, through hard work. And that's the price we all have to pay to achieve that goal or any goal. So the hard work piece, I think, makes sense. But I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on whether leaders are born or whether they're made.
James, I would concur with the quote, they are made. Mm-hmm. I think challenges in life where a lot of people look at is, oh my gosh, why do I have to go through this crap again? And, you know, every time a challenge comes up, if you look at it from the opposite view, you'll see that the challenge are really just opportunities to grow. And sure, that's going to sound cliche and people can roll their eyes and be like, oh my gosh, it's why are you even saying this? But it's really true. It's the whole workout analogy, right? Your muscles don't get stronger unless you break them down. Mm-hmm. That's how they get stronger. So you as a person develop resiliency, develop grit, you know, and you put yourself in a situation, and if you rise to the occasion, that also helps you build the resiliency and grit and self-confidence. And those qualities, resiliency, grit, self-confidence, discipline, are qualities of good leaders and great leaders.
Absolutely.
And so you don't get to that point, which is why I don't think they're born. I think they're made, without having gone through, you know, some challenge, some adversity. And you continue to do this over and over again, like the, you know, the sword forged in the fire.
How would you describe your leadership style?
Well, you see me now. I'm pretty collegial. I always, you know, keep a sense of humor about most things, because without that things can be way too serious. Also because of my, sort of life coaching skills in a business setting, business has become a completely different experience for me, because before, where I had my game face on 24/7, and that's what you have to do in the business world, you have to be serious and hardworking, let's just do it. Mm-hmm. It's now I see people's patterns, so I can, my behavior and the way I respond to other people is going to be very different than before, when I was just, ironclad, game face, and all locked up.
So I don't want this to start coming across as a job interview, but if you're able to share an anecdote of a time that you led your team through a difficult season, or perhaps you coached a business client on how to lead their team through a challenging time. Is that something that, is anything that comes to mind?
Sure. There's so many examples. So I was brought in to, help out a business, streamline things, help them implement processes and systems and things like that. And the unintended consequence that happened was, again, remember what I gave you the example of, the business has an issue or issues, but in reality, and you usually see this the smaller the business is, you do see it in larger businesses as well, but seeing this with the co-founder of the business. Mm-hmm. And if I had only had the skills of a business consultant, I never would have addressed this leader's own personal, patterns that were holding them back and holding back the business from succeeding. But because I have, both skill sets, I was able to do both concurrently. And that's when you get the best result, right?
So what does success look like for Lori in the next 3 to 5 years, both, let's say, professionally and personally? What does success look like for you?
Well, my meaning of success is fulfillment. And part of Lori being fulfilled is progress. Mm-hmm. I'm a doer. I think my mom said from an early age, I was a human doing, not a human being. I have learned how to be, which was really, really tough process. One of my own healers is like, you don't have to do another plan. You can actually just be. Anyway, that's another lesson for another time. But I will say, in the next 3 to 5 years, holistic wellness design, over the next 12 months is we're working on, all of the plans to scale, which will include hiring staff, training them up into the proprietary process. And so we can help more. I mean, that's sure. Really what this is all about, helping more people. And so, in 3 to 5 years, in 5 years, I have sold holistic wellness design to a corporate wellness provider or some other, entity that I feel really, that will really, keep the onus and the value of the core, part of holistic wellness design while they administer that. And I'm hoping to be sitting on the beach in Costa Rica, my surfboard, my laptop, and writing my first or second novel.
So in thinking about the future of your business, I know you mentioned that you're, currently in the process of setting up a number of different things, like hiring employees. What's maybe the one potential thing that could potentially derail the trajectory of that success, if at all?
Well, gosh, I if I had a crystal ball, James, there's always something.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
And that's where the adversity and the challenge comes in. And, the newer found skills and routines that I have really help ground me and go, okay, here's what we're facing.
Yeah.
Got to get back up on the horse. I mean, there's always the cash flow issue with startups, right? So cash flow is always an issue. Hiring, all of the things that the hiring we've done so far has been outsourced for the most part, but hiring the wrong vendors, right? So you got the time, you know, the lost, it seems like lost time, but they're, again, remember, these are lessons. These are things that one needs to know to move to the next phase. So, those are just a couple of areas that can, derail things. But again, you just gotta get back on the horse. And if you don't want to get back on the horse, then you should just, wrap it up and work for someone else.
That makes sense. And I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier about what makes a good leader, right? The ability to be resilient in tough times, being able to pivot, being agile, and just being able to lead your people and keep them sane in, I guess, what you could call an insane environment. So yes, a crystal ball would be nice, but again, we all know that it's not practical, right? So Laurie, as we get ready to wrap up, could you please share your favorite piece of advice that you would share with any aspiring entrepreneurs out there, people who are thinking about, maybe starting their own business or even a career change? What's one piece of advice that you could share with folks who are finding themselves at that juncture?
That's a question I've been asked quite a bit, and especially when I first left Wall Street, because there is this illusion of safety and stability mm-hmm. when you work for someone else. But think about it. How many people do we know that have been laid off, especially recently? Sure. So it's I don't want to get all touchy-feely and talk about, the illusion of life, but really it's the fear, right, that holds us back from making changes and, taking off in new directions. And I had a few people when I first left ask me this question: how did you do it? How did you give up the safety and stability? And I said, I broke it down and said, really think about how safe and stable it really is. And then when you peel the onion on that, and they go, oh, okay, I get it. Well, what about the money? Well, do you need that much money, going forward? If you do, stay doing what you're doing. If you have enough to take care of yourself and hopefully have some runway, because gosh, startups are exorbitantly expensive.
Sure.
Then what are the other fears holding you back?
Yeah.
It's really, you really have to look in the mirror and be honest with yourself. Do you really want to do something different? Does it excite you? Of course, it's going to scare the crap out of you. But why? So it's really just digging into yourself a bit and answering those questions. And, maybe you have a conversation. If you can't do it with yourself, have it with your best friend or have it with your spouse or somebody that you really trust that would give you a completely honest answer, or that you could, bounce ideas off of.
Yeah, no, I think that's really sound advice. I listened to a podcast, Sean Cannell. It's called the Think Media Podcast. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he says is important, especially when venturing out, into uncharted waters, is always coming back to your why. And I think you alluded to this earlier, right? When you mentioned, your why being, being more present for your kids. Mm-hmm. And, sometimes if we don't have that nailed down and we're very specific about it, it's so easy to get derailed, right? And I think the other thing is also, there's no such thing as an overnight success. Going back to the analogy of the iceberg, everybody sees what's surface level, but not necessarily what it's taken to get to that point and what it's taking to currently maintain or grow that business or whatever it might be, right? So that's super sound advice. So thank you very much. I appreciate you coming onto the show, Laurie, and sharing your insight, your experience, and what it is that you do. For anyone looking to contact you or connect with you, or perhaps learn a little bit more about what it is that you do, could you please maybe just share where they can find you?
Sure. And James, it was a real pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you.
People, you can find me at holisticwellnessdesign.com. We have a contact page. You can send us a note. You can sign up for a newsletter. You can book a free consultation if you want to talk to me in person. So reach out. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Laurie. I appreciate your time.